Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Well, good morning. It's Monday morning on June 11th. It's beautiful here in Carlsbad, California, and I just wanted to welcome everyone to Women Leading the Way radio show. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host, and with me today is our leading lady, Lindsay Smith, with KW Commercial. Lindsay, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning, Michelle. Whew.
Okay, it's a Monday morning, and things are always last minute, right, on Monday mornings?
Definitely.
I love it. Well, I'm glad you're here with us this morning because, you know, what's interesting to me, and I, you know, I've known you for a little while, but I am definitely dying to hear about what it's like to be a woman in the male-dominated industry of commercial real estate. So my first question to you is, how did you even get started, or what was of interest to you to start in the commercial real estate industry? I'm curious.
You know, my dad was actually a broker and a developer more on the residential end in Louisiana growing up. And so growing up in a house, you know, watching him put deals together, it was never boring. It was always fun and exciting. He always had something new to do. So when I actually went away to college, I was at USD and got involved in their real estate program and just got very excited, not only about the monetary aspects, but just kind of the deal structure and the excitement that goes along with putting deals together.
And so from your father then, I mean, did you always just kind of love real estate or you kind of love the business side of it? I'm kind of curious. I mean, what was the real specific thing that you saw that you liked about commercial real estate? Because that's a real specialty. I mean, it's not residential real estate. This is the commercial side.
Right. I think commercial was probably a better fit. I knew that I didn't want to do residential and work 7 days a week, especially on the weekends and not have any family time. I don't know. I like office buildings. I guess one story I can tell you is when I lived downtown in San Diego, I'd never close my blinds because I love to fall asleep and look at the big sky rises. I've always kind of been fascinated by that sort of architecture. So right out of school, I had an opportunity to start working with D.B. Richard Ellis and kind of got my feet wet and just fell in love with it.
Wow. And, you know, when you started in the commercial real estate industry, I mean, just share, you know, not by numbers and statistics, but, you know, what were you, because you're pretty young, and I'm just kind of curious, what, you know, what did you see from the standpoint of kind of like females versus males in commercial real estate? I mean, were you just one? Were there a few? Or, you know, how many women were in commercial real estate when you kind of got involved with the companies you've worked with?
Right. Well, I spent 5 years at D.B. Richard Ellis, and I want to say out of their probably 150 brokers in San Diego, maybe 10 at the most were female. And then when I went over to BRE Commercial, they were originally affiliated with Grubb & Bellis and then Cassidy Turley. By the time I left, there was only 4 of us in San Diego. And
four,
right now,
say how many? How many?
Four out of probably 150. And I
wow.
know right now they're down to 2 females out of 150.
And what do you think is the reason? I mean, is it that women don't know to get involved in this type of industry? Or what's been your experience to kind of maybe give a reason as to why there's not more women in commercial real estate?
Sure. Well, I think you have to have a pretty thick skin. and aside from that, it's definitely a good old boys club. I mean, you know, deals get done among the males because they're out at bars, you know, drinking together. They're on the golf course together. They're providing a lot of favoritism to their male counterparts that they've been buddy buddies with. And so you kind of have to figure out a way to, I guess, play with them on their playground in order to, you know, get the inside information, to get the most recent lease comp information, to get the most recent vacancy information. And just to kind of stay on that cutting edge, you really have to find a way to kind of break into their bubble.
And how do you do that? I mean, I know, you know, kind of backing up a little bit, I know you mentioned in your conversation, just what you said before, that, you know, golfing, having some cocktails, that kind of thing, the old boys network. But, you know, you're an avid golfer, if I understand it, from knowing you. It's like, is that kind of one of the ways that you really kind of get into the old boys network, is by golfing and kind of like, you know, hanging with the dudes?
I'm actually, yes, I definitely love to golf, but I'm a newbie golfer, so I actually haven't golfed with any guys. I pretty much just golf with women since I'm just now starting out. I don't think I'd be able to keep up with the guys just quite yet. but, yeah, I mean, I like football a lot, so if you can talk with them about football or if you can just find some sort of commonality where you can kind of bond and talk about something outside of work, I think that's probably a good first step. And definitely, I think that you just have to, you have to be that much smarter, that much more on top of your game than the guys are in order to be taken seriously. And I think that once they do see how competent you are, then they do take you seriously and they do give you a little bit more credibility.
Well, and walk me through that, because, you know, I mean, and again, we're just having a conversation, but, you know, I think of property owners that, you know, some of them, there's probably a lot of men that are in property ownership as opposed to women, but then you get into commercial property management. Now, do you deal with commercial property managers or just building owners predominantly?
I pretty much, well, the majority of my business is tenant representation, so I'm usually dealing with a listing agent. When I was at Council Beach early in CB, I was a little bit more on the landlord side, and so at that point in time, I was dealing directly with property owners rather than managers. So right now, it's usually a male listing agent that I'm negotiating with on behalf of my tenants.
And what's that like? I mean, how difficult is that? Do you feel like you're taken seriously as a woman? Do you get discredited? I'm just kind of curious what that experience is like working with. We used to call them quote-unquote hot dogs when I was in the corporate basket business because they were young. They were, you know, kind of like hot dogs thinking they were all that. And I'm just kind of curious, do you have any experience in working with some of these dudes?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely the case. It all depends on the listing agent. The ones that I know are obviously easier to deal with because we've done deals together. One story I can tell you was when I think I was about 2 years into my leasing business, and I dealt with a very difficult client that was difficult. He was an existing tenant. He'd been difficult for the landlord. He was extremely difficult to represent and negotiate with, and I think I gained a lot of respect for the listing agent. I know he called my senior counterpart at the time and just complimented the way that I handled him during the negotiation. So if it's someone like that that I've dealt with before, then they know that I'm on my game and they have a lot of respect for me. And so that's just usually a pleasure to work with. But if it's a guy that hasn't heard of me before, then it's really hard to gain that credibility because they automatically assume that you're an assistant or you're you know, a marketing person calling on behalf of a broker, and they don't take you, you know, seriously when you call, and it's hard to get them to return your phone call or give you information about the property sometimes.
Well, and I'd love to know, I mean, what are some tactics you do? I mean, what are things you do to, you know, build your credibility or, you know, come across as being taken more seriously? Are there things that you actually, you know, exhibit or do in terms of trying to get someone to kind of give you a little bit more street credit, or what do you do? What do you do specifically?
If they're not responsive, then I'll just be persistent in terms of following up. And once I do get in touch with them, just asking intelligent questions about the property and showing, you know, demonstrating your knowledge. Or if it comes down to it, just kind of, you know, dropping that I have 10 years of experience in the industry somewhere into the conversation so that you can kind of gain that credibility. And if they're too difficult, then, or if they're completely non-responsive at that point, then you can, you know, go to the actual property owner usually and get the information. But that's kind of a last resort because it's not really very acceptable in the industry to do that. You should usually go through the broker. But if they're completely non-responsive, then you always have that option.
I know you handle things really well. And when you and I talk and you kind of, you know, you're handling how the male and female differences are in your industry, because you and I have had conversations about this, but do you think there's, you know, a bigger hurdle for women in commercial real estate? I mean, do they drop out quite frequently? I mean, are you the one that has staying power? Is that very, you know, kind of a misnomer? I mean, it doesn't seem like a lot of women stay in commercial real estate. Has that been what you've seen too?
Oh, absolutely. I've seen lots of women actually take completely different career paths There's one gal that actually moved to Hawaii and just became a yoga instructor. You know, that's a complete lifestyle change. Because it is, I mean, you're showing up every day, you're dealing with, you know, not only on some level, you know, disrespect on at least probably a weekly basis because people aren't taking you seriously, but, I mean, there's other issues that you deal with as well as far as being a woman. You know, when you're walking into an office that's all men and they're in the power position, just kind of the language that they use, talking down to you or maybe making sexual innuendos or whatnot. I mean, you really have to love what you do and have a thick skin in order to tough it out. And I think that once the guys realize that you are staying around and that you are confident, then, you know, you gain their respect tremendously and it's really a game changer. But you definitely, there is a waiting period. You definitely do have to wait it out.
Well, and I got a question because, you know, to me, I'm an ex-banker. I was in commercial banking, and it's like, you know, at that time, back in the early 80s, it was definitely, you know, a man's world. But I'm curious on your front. You mentioned earlier that you said some of the men will, you know, kind of like disrespect you by, you know, talking with sexual innuendos and things like that. I mean, does that bother you? It's like, do you think they do that on purpose, or is it just a guy being a guy? And then, you know, how do you handle that? I mean, how do you handle that type of conversation where you feel it's uncomfortable or disrespectful, or do you just let it roll? I'm kind of curious.
Share with our listeners. I think it's probably a little of both. Some of it's just a guy being a guy, and some of it, I think, is a little more pointed. I think some of it is the guys want to see how much they can get away with. And, I mean, for me personally, if it's a sexual innuendo, I try to take it as a compliment as much as I can, but I usually just kind of laugh it off and I say something sarcastic inside, kind of back to it. And you have to have the right personality to be in this industry. I mean, for me, I kind of have a dry, sarcastic sense of humor, so it works well. And I don't know. I mean, it just doesn't really get under my skin too much. I've always been one that, I handle it myself. I wouldn't go to HR and complain. It's always something I would just handle on my own and just kind of laugh it off. And I actually think that I've, you know, gained respect for handling it that way.
No, I like that because again, in corporate America, I think there's some people, you know, some women who are listening today that, you know, again, we know what's right and wrong. We know what should be in business and the kind of appropriate conversation or actions. But, you know, do you, and this would be kind of your kind of like suggestion, Lindsay, do you feel it's important for women to fight back or roll with it? Or, you know, I mean, what do you recommend women do in business if they feel like they're having in their workplace some of those conversations where it may be inappropriate? I'm kind of with you that I don't know if you should always head to HR. Are you of the same kind of like mindset there?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the only regrets that I have is I wish that I would have stood up for myself more, and not in terms of someone making sexual innuendos, but in terms of male colleagues that were just being disrespectful in their demeanor and in what they were asking me to do work-wise, or in what they were demanding that I do, that they would not have demanded of a male colleague. I wish that I would have stood up. I think that, you know, as a woman, you're always worried about coming across as being emotional or bitchy, but I would always go home and think about, you know, how can I stand up for myself without coming across as being the emotional girl or the bitchy girl. And I think that when you can stand up for yourself and kind of put the guys in their place and say, hey, you know, this is inappropriate, it's not correct the way that you, you know, demanded that I do that, and, you know, here's what I need you to do next time, I think that you actually do gain a lot of respect for handling things that way. So I would suggest, you know, to other females out there in male-dominated industries, just know that, you know, if your male superiors are demanding things or asking things, you know, just even in a work sense that are inappropriate, just stand up for yourself and say, hey, you know, it's inappropriate the way you asked that, and here's how I need you to ask it next time.
Well, and have you done that and you feel that works? I mean, has that worked for you?
Definitely. And the other thing that I would suggest is find a senior male, you know, in the business that can kind of be your buddy or your advocate. I know I had a couple of mentors along the way when I was in, you know, in the big corporate brokerage houses, and they're very helpful because they can advocate on your behalf, and they can go to other people and say, hey, you know, that's not cool. For example, I had I had a colleague that was senior to me, and I was working with them on some projects, and they made a very snide and demeaning comment in front of an office meeting, and I had two brokers that were mentors of mine come up and say, "Hey, that was really inappropriate. I want to let you know that I said something to him afterwards." And so I think that it's really important just to have some male mentors that are more senior in the industry that can kind of stand up for you, so you don't have to come across as the bitch or the emotional one all the time, that there's someone else that's advocating for you on a senior level.
I think that's cool. I mean, I do think that there's more men now that, you know, kind of take on a mentoring role with other women, because for me, some of my best mentors in business were men. I mean, I'm kind of curious, you know, if you see that in your work environment, how do you, and maybe you have, because you were talking about the mentoring thing, how would you approach a man to say, "Hey, I'd love for you to be my mentor"? I mean, do you take them for coffee and kind of say, "I'd love you to be my mentor"? I'm kind of curious, what did you do, or what would you recommend if somebody is looking to kind of have a male mentor in business?
For me, it was kind of a natural progression of just who I was working with on certain deals. And, you know, certain personalities just kind of click. And I wouldn't say it was necessarily a formal mentorship, but it was definitely an established, I'd say, partnership where we were working closely together on a lot of deals, and it just kind of naturally progressed into a mentorship. But, yeah, I would say go out and have coffee. I think that most guys would be very happy to have coffee or lunch. And you know, guys always like to have their ego stroked, so just say, "Hey, you know, I'd like to pick your brain about the industry." And I think whether it's a male or female, they'd probably be very receptive to doing that.
And I want to say thank you just on the radio, because it's like, this is a tough conversation. You know, when you think about women and how we do what we do, I mean, we're not trying to men bash, but it is a different world. And I have a story to share. When I was in banking, you know, I remember that when men and clients, okay, would go and they would invite each other to golf. And back when I was in banking, it's like I never got invited. And I was, in some cases, a more senior-level lender than the gentlemen that were asking our clients to go play golf. And it was really difficult. And I always, you've been in a group that I always bring up and say, yeah, I drove the beer cart at golf events, because that's how I was able to kind of connect and interact with people when I was never invited to the party. So I'm curious, from your standpoint, you know, you mentioned building a rapport with men and, you know, kind of like dealing with these men so they kind of like, you know, bring you in. How do you go about that? Are there certain things you do to get men to invite you to events? Because men go have a beer, they golf, they, you know, commit differently, if I can say that. So what are the things you do so that you kind of interact and, you know, get into that inner circle with the boys' club?
Yeah, no, that's definitely it's definitely a difficulty that I've had as well. And I think it's just trying to find a commonality, kind of try to get in with the people that are actually planning the event, bond with them on some level. For me, I participated in a lot of the office football pools, and I also played fantasy football just because that's one of my interests.
Oh, wow.
I think if you can find, you know, a common interest that you're truly passionate about and that you truly enjoy, then that's a great way to bond.
I love that. And, you know, I'm kind of going into some deep stuff here, but it's like, you know, what do you feel has been the hardest thing you've had to learn, you know, by lessons or example or do-overs that in being a commercial real estate broker? I mean, what's the hardest thing if you had to pick one top of the heap?
I think the hardest thing is just to know that you have a right to stand up for yourself. You know, especially when you're being approached by someone that's been in the business 20 or 30 years and you're just starting out with a few years of experience, and they're, you know, being demanding or asking things of you that aren't asked as males in your position, I think that you have a right to stand up and say, "I'm sorry, but that's not part of my job description," or, you know, "I don't appreciate the way you asked that," and you're not being a bitch, and you have every right to do that. And I think it's harder for women to actually stand up for themselves. Because they don't want to be termed, you know, emotional or the office bitch or whatnot. And so I think for me, it was just, you know, learning, I guess, kind of settling into my confidence and just learning that it's okay to stand up for myself and be me. And there's no wrong or right way. I mean, every broker has their own personal style, and you just kind of need to find that and settle into your confidence and just be comfortable being you.
And I know, you know, because, again, you and I know each other pretty well, you kind of made a big change from one firm to another one a little while ago. So where are things, I mean, what do you kind of see right now as far as good trends or positive trends in commercial real estate? I mean, is it as bad as we hear, you know, based on the media? Or what is commercial real estate like right now as far as what openings? It's like, you know, is it good or bad, Lindsay? Give us a snapshot of the industry right now.
Yeah, so landlord concessions are pretty much at their max. They're definitely not going to get any better as far as tenants are concerned. We're starting to see over the last, I'd say, 18 months, we're slowly starting to see positive absorption in most of the submarkets. So what that means is there's more space being leased than vacated. And, of course, we have a long ways to go in order to make up for all of the quarters that we've had with negative absorption. But we're slowly starting to see the trend increase in the right direction in terms of the economy. So it's not going to be overnight for sure, but now is definitely the time to sign a long-term lease because all of the economic indicators show that we're slowly coming out of the recession.
Slowly. It's painful, isn't it, watching how this is going? I mean, it's like, please, come on. I know, I hear you. And it's really always interesting because residential real estate kind of did its fallout, and then commercial real estate comes after that. So as goes commercial real estate, are we going to see the momentum kind of kicking up a little bit? Is that what you think?
I think so. I'm seeing a big uptick in tenant activity, and that doesn't necessarily mean uptick in deals getting done, but we are seeing more tenants out in the marketplace touring, thinking about expanding, thinking about starting up a new business. So I think those are all positive signs. I mean, certain submarkets have still been, you know, very heavily affected by the recession. Part of that office vacancy is still, you know, way up there because we had an influx of inventory come on the market in 2007 and 2008. And then, of course, when the recession hit, the vacancy dramatically increased. So that submarket in particular, you can still get amazing office deals. Scripps Ranch is another example where there's still, you know, high vacancy and some great office deals being done. Retail in San Diego, we've never had the inventory or the vacancy that some of the other submarkets have had. So retail rates have stayed pretty high in terms of occupancy. I think right now we're only at about a 4.5% vacancy rate countywide for retail, which is great. So retail's making it a little bit harder to come by. But your office and industrial, there's still plenty out there.
Well, and I'm curious because we've had this conversation, but, you know, what do you feel are the two key things, you know, that you do in marketing yourself? Because, I mean, it really is you marketing you, right? You would agree with that, that it's people buying you? I mean, what do you do that's giving you the best kind of, like, results with marketing to be able to get leads or find buildings, find tenants that are looking to expand or, you know, move or whatnot? What are your two best marketing tactics?
Yeah, good question. So that's actually one of the reasons I chose to leave a big corporate brokerage house and started my own division at KW. You know, I believe truly in creating a network of strong strategic referral partners where you can refer back and forth. And from now having my own business, pretty much all of my business is referral-based, and it's really from creating those trusted relationships with my referral partners. I think that, you know, building your business as a trusted advisor is key, and just maintaining relationships with your current client base and then maintaining relationships with your referral partners is really the way, especially in San Diego, to build your business.
Do you find San Diego is a very well-connected community? Do you find that it's who you know?
Oh, it's definitely who you know. I think, you know, San Diego is really a small town, and everyone knows someone, and I think most people find their bankers, accountants, lawyers, et cetera, through referral partners and not through the Yellow Pages or through advertising or some other media. So I think it's really important, you know, to make a name for yourself in the business community and to have those referral partners.
You know, I find this always fascinating is, you know, every day when you get up, you don't have somebody tapping on your shoulder saying, hey, Lindsay, you need to go out there and get it done, right? Because you're on your own, you're a business, self-employed professional. And I mean, what keeps you motivated? I'm just curious because you got to get up every day. You got to, like, go make those calls, go, you know, shake those hands. I say kiss the babies, but you're not in politics. So it's like, what drives you? What keeps you motivated to get up every day and go out and just make the connections and make the calls? I'm curious.
I don't know. I've got like this huge, I just get super anxious if I'm not on my A game. And I think it's just because I'm answering to myself. And if I'm not out there working, I don't get a paycheck. So, I don't know. I think the first thing is just a responsibility, you know, to myself to know that I need to wake up every day and work hard. But then secondly, it's also a responsibility to my clients and to my referral partners. And I know that if I'm not serving my clients to the best of my ability, then that's going to affect, you know, that's going to affect their business. That's going to affect their ability to succeed, which is a huge weight on my shoulders. And it's also going to affect my name and the way that my referral partners think about me. And, you know, there's so many commercial real estate brokers in San Diego that are fighting for business every single day that you have to be on your A game if you're going to retain your business or go out and get new business. So just knowing that there's a lot of competition, and I think ultimately just knowing that, you know, the success of someone else's business depends on me getting them the best deal that I can for their lease, because more than likely, unless they have a large inventory that they're selling, their lease is going to be their highest line item expense. So for me to be able to go in there and advocate for them and cut down that expense, that weighs heavily on whether they're going to succeed or not, especially if it's a startup.
Well, and I'm curious because it's like, you know, you mentioned some great, you know, motivators and things that you do to kind of like keep connected. But what are some very specific things you do that you can share with our listeners of what you do to stay top of mind? Because I think that's, you know, for any service professional, you know, you can always meet somebody, they know what you do, you know, they're on your radar. But what do you do to stay top of mind? I mean, how do you reach out? Do you have kind of a systematic follow-up? I mean, what do you do to keep yourself at the top of the heap of top-of-mindedness?
Yeah, so developing some more processes and procedures to kind of streamline the process is actually something I'm working on right now. But, you know, getting involved in industry groups is great because then you usually see lots of people that are your referral partners where you can kind of, you know, stay fresh in their mind. Like CWI is a prime example. Just by attending, you know, a couple of events a month, you're putting your face out there in front of people that you have relationships with and that are good referral partners for you. So that's definitely something that you can do. Just get involved in a networking group, you know, where there's quality people with quality referrals, and just show up to the events because then you're able to put your face in front of theirs. I guess, you know, rather than having to sit down and have coffee or lunch with them one-on-one, which can be very time-consuming, you can put your face out there in front of a lot of people at once. And then I think it's important to kind of strategically pick those people that may be really good referral partners for you and then follow up with them and actually have a one-on-one, a coffee or a lunch, and find out more about their business and let them know a little bit more about yours so that you guys can keep an eye out for each other in terms of referrals. I think, what's that?
Oh, I love that. Keep going.
Yeah.
Give us a couple more.
And then the other thing I've done is a colleague of mine and I, we started a ladies golf networking group. And so we do those events probably every 6 weeks or 2 months. And so that allows us to get in front of a lot of colleagues and just, you know, socialize and also network a little bit and talk about business. But I think just getting out in the community, getting involved in things that are important to you, where either your clients or other referral partners are going to be, is probably the best way.
I love it. Well, I want to, and we're going to wrap up here on the downhill side, but I'm curious, what would be one piece of very important advice that you would share with other business women if you had to say, here's the one slice of advice that I definitely feel is central to succeeding in a male-dominated business and industry?
I would say just build relationships and have allies, whether they're male or female. You know, really just get involved, reach out to people, and just build solid relationships so that you always have someone to either bounce ideas off of or, you know, someone to talk to as a support system. I just think that's really important and key, is just to have relationships both inside and outside of your industry.
And I think you're doing that very well. So, folks, that is our show for today. Lindsay, I just want to say thank you so much for being our leading lady on the show. I'm Michelle Burke. You're so welcome. I just love the authentic and the real conversations that we have on this show. But it's been my sincere pleasure to be your host today. Our next Women Leading the Way radio show is next Monday at 9 a.m. For more information on Connected Women of Influence, please go to our website, which is www.connectedwomenofinfluence.com. Thanks, and I want everybody to have a great day, so thanks for listening today. Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private